We're going to be looking tonight in our devotional time before we go to prayer at 3 days that we need not worry about. 3 days that you don't have to fret about. And you know what they are? Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, some of you might say, well, Pastor John, you narrowed it down to three. I just about worry and fret 7 days a week. Well, you know, we don't have to worry and we don't have to fret about yesterday, today, or tomorrow. And I think our little hymn, Yesterday, Today, Forever, is a great reminder over that. First of all, let's take a look at the fact that no believer ever ought to fret or be stressed about yesterday. You know, one of the greatest reasons for so much of the sickness that we see in the world today, it's caused by guilt, bitterness, an unforgiving spirit, guilt over one's past sins, memories of the past, injustices that have come our way. But yet the Word of God says we need not fret about yesterday. And I'd like for us to review four scriptures that looked back to yesterday in our lives. Turn to Psalm 103 and verse 8. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The Word of God says, "The Lord, Yahweh, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He'll not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever." Aren't you glad that you can claim that about your yesterdays? "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." We sure haven't gotten what we had coming. "Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Isn't it wonderful to know that we can see that the past is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? We need not fret or worry about yesterday. Another wonderful scripture, we don't always read from the book of Micah, oftentimes in our devotion time, but in the book of Micah, chapter 7 and verse 18, we have a wonderful, wonderful expression of praise from the prophet. He says in Micah 7, 18, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy." That's the Lord that we serve. And God has established the unconditional Abrahamic covenant, and we're included in that third aspect of the blessing, and he delights in his people. And notice what it says in Micah 7:19. In Micah 7:19 it says, "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us." You know, Israel still has that tribulation period coming. God is not through with his people, and he'll have compassion upon her. He'll subdue our iniquities. I like this. This is why we need not fret about yesterday. "Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea." That's what the Lord has done for us. And we can be so thankful that the Lord has cast all of our sins. What does it say in 1 John 1:9? Let's quote it together. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Praise God, we need not fret about the past. In Hebrews 10, And verse 17, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Dear listener, are you carrying a weight and load of guilt from the past? Give it to Jesus. Confess all known sin and give it to Jesus and trust in Him. Then there's a second day that we need not worry about. And we're prone to do this. We worry about today. The panoply of problems that we face. You know, yesterday is unchangeable. Worry is unprofitable. But you know, today is uncontrollable. Worry is unnecessary. What did the Lord say in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount? You recall when He said in Matthew 6:28, and in the context of worry, I want you to note, in Matthew 6, He says this, no man can serve two masters. You know, worry and anxiety is a master. It'll control our thinking. It'll take away our desire and passion for practicing the presence of the Lord in our lives. Satan wants to misdirect us. And that's why he starts this section on Matthew 6:28 with an exhortation about serving two masters. It says, no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so often we worry about our financial needs. But look at verse 25 of Matthew 6. I say unto you, therefore, take no thought. Don't be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, for yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And he gives the examples of the fowl of the air. Oftentimes, I enjoy walking Samson in the park, and just the birds will fly around, and they're not even afraid of the dog. They'll just come around and encircle us and the squirrels and all of nature. And I'm often reminded of the fact, you know, the Lord provides for these little creatures. And none of them are popping antacids or taking, you know, all types of anti-anxiety drugs or anything like that. They're trusting in their Lord. Behold, the fowl of the air, it says in verse 26. They sow not, neither do they reap, gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? You know, the Lord is good to us, but all of us can remember, especially in the early portion of our lives, when we first got married, things were a little tougher, weren't they? Things were a little tougher. People say that, you know, when you marry, it's puppy love. Remember, puppies are sometimes born with their eyes closed, and we don't sometimes realize the complexities of life, but there were times in our marriage that we just had rice and beans, and sometimes we were lucky to get the beans. Things were tight. If we got tired of rice and beans, we'd have beans and rice. Sometimes we'd have potatoes. I remember Dr. Jeremiah, not David Jeremiah, his father, James T. Jeremiah. He was the president at Cedarville when I was there, and he was sharing with college students and future preachers, and he said, yeah, when we got married, I'd ask my wife, what's for dinner? And she'd say the same thing every day, potatoes. Sometimes it'd be mashed. He said, we tried potatoes every which way you can think. We'd boil them and pour hot olive oil and garlic on top if we could. We'd French fry them, we'd scallop them, we'd do everything we possibly could, but it was potatoes, and it was tough. But he gave his testimony about how God provided. But he's seen us through. None of us looks like we're too emaciated right now. The Lord does care for his children. And he says, why do you take thought for raiment? Verse 28, consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Our family, for devotion time last night, we were watching a devotion. It was a video, a DVD. Jesse brought it home and was sharing it with us. And it was talking about practicing the presence of the Lord in the little things of life. And we'll be speaking about that in future occasions. But he was sharing about how we need to go out, and when we see a beautiful cumulus cloud, and we look at it and it seems to be in the shape of a heart, we need to say, thank you, Jesus, for your love for me. When you're sitting in your sofa and your little puppy dog comes and licks your hand and shows you love, say, thank you, Lord, that you know us so well that you've given us little dogs to show us love. And that just reminds me that you love me so much too. Whenever you go and you go into the shower and you move your fingers and say, Lord Jesus, thank you so much that I'm able to have a body that functions, that reminds me of your care for me and your love and how you fashioned me. And I want to give you a little bit of a homework assignment this week. Will you stop wherever you are and smell the roses and thank Jesus? Practice his presence in every possible thing. You're talking with your friend. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given my friend to me, that we can talk, that we can share. Thank you, Lord, for my children. You got to mow the lawn and you don't like the idea of having to do it. Well, thank you, Lord, that you've given me a lawn to mow that I can call mine, that you've given to me. Where, Lord, you didn't have any possessions really here on earth, save your garment and sandals. And yet, Lord, thank you that you are a good God. I want to challenge you to put it on your prayer sheet as a reminder as you go to prayer. Practice his presence. Worship him in every part of your life. You sit down to eat your breakfast. It'll keep you from rote prayers. You can tell when a prayer is truly from the heart. I remember, and all of you remember, Tommy Griffin. I'll tell you what, I used to enjoy praying with Tommy Griffin. Now, Tommy Griffin wasn't perfect, and neither am I. But Tommy Griffin, when he'd get up and pray to the Lord, or we'd have prayer together as just in a small group like we used to in years past, he'd say, Lord, I'm coming to you again. And I got to tell you, Lord, I'm really discouraged right now about this, but I want to tell you about it. I know that you know, but you want to hear it from me. That's the way he'd talk to the Lord, conversationally, like we do tonight. Rather than the pontificating prayers, reminding God about his theological attributes when we pray, he just talked to God. We need to remember to stop worrying about today, because Satan knows that if he can get us to worry about things, what are we doing? We stop thinking about the Lord. You can't think of two things at the same time. So he's going to get you sidetracked. Let me share with you a third principle, and that is this. No believer need worry about tomorrow. Why? Because the Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 23, Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And I know that the Lord is going to direct my steps. And isn't it wonderful? I think if we had a testimony time tonight, we could each rehearse with one another how God sometimes reminds us that he's in charge of our steps. Let me give you an example. When you run into someone that you've been burdened about and you haven't seen them in a long time, and you run into them at Walmart, and you're able to catch up, share some things, encourage them, strengthen them, and leave a blessing with them, and maybe even have prayer with them. There are times when events take place in our lives, and the Lord uses them to remind us that I am guiding your steps. It says here in Psalm 37:23, through 25, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And I like this, verse 25, I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. Where are you? Are you on the young or the old side? Well, it's a matter of perspective, is the truth. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, we know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We need not worry about tomorrow. The best is yet to come. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. When the devil comes to bring worry about tomorrow, you remind the old devil, my Lord is directing my steps. He's going to lead me. And he causes the devil come and get us to fret over what's going to happen if this happens to me. What am I going to do if this happens to me? And if that happens, before long, we're all bent out of shape and worried about circumstances. Sometimes we can worry about losing our partner or our loved one, and we don't enjoy them while we have them. And we have to be careful about that. Jesus said about our tomorrow, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord knows about your yesterday. He knows about your today. And he knows about your tomorrow. And he sees it all in one panoramic view. I can't think of a better person to trust in right now. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of daily commitment. Let's bow our heads together. And again, I want to challenge you to examine your heart and see whether the spirit of worry and preoccupation has choked out your ability to wait and trust in the leadership of the Lord. Have I been practicing his presence on a daily basis? Lord, thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, for the fact that, Lord, you've made arrangements for us from the foundation of the world. Lord, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God is one of the most precious of doctrines. It enables us to walk securely in faith, trusting in you and in your daily power to guide us. And I pray, Lord, for everyone that is sensing a need in their life today, anxious about tomorrow, that, Lord, that you would grant a spirit of peace, and knowing that not only are your prayers and your power with us, but Lord, we thank you that we're praying for one another as well. So Lord, help us to be transparent with one another in our prayer requests as we share even tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.